I'd like to call the February 2nd, 2010 Planning Commission to order. And Vice Chair Moreno, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Please stand, hand over heart. Please begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Roll call.
I'm sorry.
Roll call.
jumping the gun. Okay, roll call, please.
Commissioner Bentz.
Present.
Commissioner Colomarino.
Here.
Commissioner Smith.
Yes.
Commissioner Ward.
Here.
Commissioner Sturdivant.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Moreno.
Here.
Chairperson Jack.
Here.
All present.
Move approval of the agenda.
Second.
Vice Chairperson Moreno has moved for approval of the agenda. Commissioner Benz seconded. Could I have a roll call, please?
Vice Chairperson Moreno.
Yes.
Commissioner Benz.
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino.
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Yes.
Commissioner Ward.
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant.
Yes.
Chairperson Jack.
Yes.
7-0 motion passes.
Thank you. At this time, it's time for public comment. Anyone wishing to address the commission on an item that could appear from it but not on tonight's agenda, I have 3 minutes to do so. Please approach the lectern. Seeing none, bring it back to the commission. On Planning Commission business tonight, the first order of business is election of... Could I have a roll call vote, please?
Sure. Commissioner Bentz?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
7-0 motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, with that,
yes. Thank you. We'll now entertain nomination for vice chairperson.
Chairman, I would like to nominate Commissioner Bentz for vice chairperson.
I second it.
Second by Ward. So we have a first by Commissioner Sturdivant and a second by Commissioner Ward for Commissioner Bentz. Do we have any other nominations? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Commissioner Bentz?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
7-0 motion passes.
Thank you.
We're in trouble now.
All right. Coming up with a consent calendar, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a first by Commissioner Jack, second by Commissioner Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Bentz?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
7-0 motion passes.
Thank you. Director, Community Development Staff Reports. Callie, welcome back, Callie. Good to have you.
Hi, Mom.
Thanks. It's nice to be back. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a tree removal permit on two properties in Santa Ynez. This is a request to remove 5 native trees totaling 204 inches, and they're located on 2 multifamily parcels. The applicant's arborist has determined 10 zoning. These are the photos of the existing trees. We see the five trees that are requested for removal. There are additional trees in the lot that the applicant's arborist has recommended removing, but those they aren't all native trees. The only native trees that we're looking at are these five. So we have tree 3, which is a 46-inch multi-trunk live oak, tree 5, which is a 38-inch live oak, tree 7 is a valley oak, tree 2 is a valley oak, and tree 8 is a black walnut. And this is a site plan showing the location of all these trees. We have three of them located at the front of the lot along San Ynez, and then we have tree 8, the black walnut, located in front of the residence, and tree 7, the one that has been determined to be the most hazardous, which is located sort of in the back next to the residence. So here we have the two different recommendations. The applicant's arborist, which is Henry Curtis, is recommending removal of all five of the trees, while the city arborist is recommending removal of only three of the trees. So what the Planning Commission has here is two different recommendations, and you can consider both of these reports in your evaluation and just make the decision based on those reports. This is a summary of the arborist evaluations as was shown in your staff report. We're looking at the tree 7 as being the most hazardous, identified for immediate removal by both arborists. Trees 3 and 5, you see up top, are identified as hazardous by both arborists, but not necessarily an emergency removal. Tree 2 that we see down here, the valley oak, was identified by Henry Curtis as a hazardous tree. However, our arborist recommends pruning only on this tree, does not believe that it's a hazardous tree. Tree 8, the black walnut, was also considered a hazardous tree by the applicant's arborist, but our arborist, the city's arborist, when evaluating this tree, determined that it's not necessarily hazardous, but it does have some unfavorable characteristics, such as the root system being too close to the house. The tree ordinance does have specific mitigation measures, which it requires for tree removals. And what it says is that permit fees are not required for the removal of dead or diseased trees. So in this case, we did not charge the tree removal permit fee to come to Planning Commission. However, mitigation is required by the tree ordinance. And what it says is that one of those is for emergency situations. So what it says is that emergency situations which cause hazardous or dangerous conditions that have a serious potential to cause immediate damage to persons or improvements on real property, these removals would be exempt from the tree ordinance and then also exempt from the mitigation fees because they wouldn't require a permit. And so in this case, what we're looking at is trees which our arborist evaluated and didn't necessarily consider an emergency situation. Our arborist felt that we had time to go to Planning Commission, go through the proper process for removal, and that's why we're presenting this here tonight. These are the mitigation fees which the applicant would be required to pay or to replant if all five trees were removed. We'd be looking at 108 5-gallon native trees, or $5,400 to the tree fund to replant elsewhere within the city. There is an option to plant less trees if they do a larger size plant. So that's something that could be an option if 108 5-gallon trees doesn't seem realistic. They could just plant a larger size and plant less of them. The Planning Commission is required to make one of the required findings in order to approve a tree removal permit. And in this case, we're looking at the findings that the tree is dead, diseased, or injured beyond reclamation as certified by a tree condition report from an arborist. And tonight, staff is recommending approval of one of the resolutions in your staff report. We're looking at Resolution A or Resolution B. Resolution A would approve the removal of all five trees, and Resolution B would approve the removal of only the three trees recommended by the city arborist, and that includes the live oak, the two live oaks, and the valley oak, the 48-inch valley oak, and that would be subject to conditions of approval. And that concludes staff's presentation. And the city arborist is here in the audience today if you have questions regarding the health of the trees.
Thank you, Callie. Well, let's start with any ex parte. I'll start with Commissioner Schmidt.
None, please.
Yes, I spoke with Mr. Winslow over the phone while I was out at the property, and he told me that he was concerned about the tree behind the house 8265. He was concerned about it falling on both homes. So when he contacted the city, he was told that there would be no fees, but he was not told that there would be no mitigation fees. So he thought no fees. So I just wanted to share that.
Jack was there, and so had the same conversation with Mr. Winslow.
I visited the site yesterday, did not talk to anyone, just looked the site over, felt that I could see where the problem was, and left. Did not speak to anyone. Thank you.
I viewed the site, but had no ex parte communications.
I also visited the site, but I didn't talk to anyone.
Thank you. Do we have any questions of staff? Commissioner Schmidt?
Just more of, a clerical. On page 34 of the report, we have our immediate past chair, Sandy Jack, as the signatory on the resolution. And are we able to approve the resolution tonight in this condition, and can we cross that out and put the new chairperson's name in? Or?
Yes, we will go ahead and change that based on the new chair.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Just a clarification for the director. On page 13, there's shows the emergency tree removals explanation and the dead and disease number two. And I was just curious when it says down at the bottom, the last sentence of number two for dead and disease tree removals, report of tree conditions will be required to be submitted by a certified arborist, and then a city arborist will also review and verify the tree conditions and make recommendations to the director and our planning commission. And I was just curious why the two, why do we have to get a report from one and then have the other?
Well, because we do have a city arborist, that is one of their tasks, is to verify information and do basically peer review of reports on these diseased or dying trees. There typically is a question of maybe what the cause is. We like to send the city arborist out just to verify what exactly happened so that we can fully explain whatever the situation is to the commission.
Thank you.
Commissioner Colin Marino.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understand the situation correctly here. We have two arborist reports, one of which was commissioned by the applicant and the other by the city. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And who pays for the city's arborist report?
It would be through, I believe it's city funds that are paid through through the tree fund, I believe. Is that correct? Yes.
So there are no funds from the applicant that are used for the to pay the city's arborist in this?
No.
Okay. And
suggesting that the tree might be failing. So we just have two different opinions of those trees.
And now the staff does not have a position as to which report to follow, which arborist conclusions to go with. Is that correct?
That's correct. Both are certified arborists, so both reports should be considered.
Now, could the staff suggest to us whether there are any guidelines that you think should be followed in evaluating these two different reports? Any relevant factors that we should consider?
What we're really looking for is to be able to make the finding. So the finding, and take a look at that, is that the tree is dead, diseased, or injured beyond reclamation. So it's whether or not you can make that finding, and if you believe that the report would justify making that finding for the tree that you're approving for removal.
What do you think?
It's something that I would definitely rely on the arborist to evaluate, because I'm more a planner and not a certified arborist.
Did you go out to the site and look at these trees, and did you reach any conclusions of your own?
It's really something that I don't want to put my opinion on. It's something that I would defer to the city arborist.
Thank you.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes. Is it my understanding that the applicant wasn't aware that he had to pay the mitigation fee? I think somebody said that.
That is what
in light of that, and the fact that this is going to cost them several thousand dollars no matter which way they go, what are the wishes of the applicant?
And we'll hear from him in just a minute.
Pardon?
We'll hear from him in just a minute. We'll take questions
from staff,
and then
we'll
go to him.
Oh, I didn't know that. Fine. I'll just wait.
Yeah, thank you.
And maybe just to clarify that, staff did send the applicant a letter explaining that mitigation fees would be due, so that he did have that in writing before he applied for the tree removal permit.
Commissioner Benz? Oh, Vice Chairperson Benz.
I think that the reason that it's before this commission is because we are the body that has to make the finding about whether the conditions of the tree meets the conditions of the laws that have been passed in regards to whether there's a fee charged or a fee not charged. And Section 9-11.105 of the Municipal Code talks about exemptions. Consider the two arborist reports and then decide whether or not the three trees or the five trees are all dangerous. And if they're all dangerous, then we can waive the fees because it's allowed for in the code. If they aren't all dangerous, then maybe Plan B is the one that we could support. And so those three trees, if we find them to be dangerous, then there's no fee attached to that. So I do think that that's something for this body to consider and to make the finding without trying to put staff into a difficult position. But I think it's before we make that decision, we most certainly need to hear from the arborist and from the applicant. Applicant first and then the arborist, I think. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm going to have to get over that. Commissioner Jack, it'll happen? Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I would agree with Vice Chairman Benz that essentially addresses what we have to deal with this evening, because we're pretty well locked into the codes. I also have copies of them with me. So okay. I have no other questions at this time.
Commissioner Colomarino.
Yes. I just want to make sure I got this straight, too, because Commissioner Vice Chair Benz was reading from Section 1 of the tree ordinance section that you put in our report here, dealing with emergency tree removals. Is it correct that neither one of the arborists consider this emergency tree removal, but rather put the emphasis on Section 2, dealing with dead and diseased or hazardous tree removals?
That's correct. It wasn't identified as an emergency by either arborist.
So there will be no waiver of mitigation fees if we go by either of the arborist reports here, is that correct?
What we've done is we have that policy, which we included in your staff report, and what our staff looks for is actually the word emergency situation when we get an arborist report. If it says emergency situation, we approve removal right away. If it doesn't say that, we bring it to Planning Commission because it's not an imminent hazard, which is what our ordinance calls it. Yeah. So in this case, we're not necessarily looking at emergency removal. If the Planning Commission wanted to consider it an emergency removal, that would be a different...
Another, or is that simply within the purview of the Commission to do that?
The Commission could do that, but they would have to be very clear that it's they're actually waiving the permit requirement. So it's not that you're just waiving the condition, because the condition is required by the ordinance. You're actually saying this is an emergency situation, and it qualifies for an exception by the ordinance.
Okay. How large is the property, the two together?
The combined acreage is 7/10 of an acre. So we're looking at potentially 7 houses on the two lots.
So those 108 trees would be a little crammed in there. Okay. And then also the peer review arborist, I don't recall that having come up in the past. Is that something recent? Is it a judgment whether you send the peer review out or not? What's the
It's something that we
procedure.
Do when we're looking at hazardous trees or emergency removals. If it's an emergency situation, we want our arborist out there within a couple days to take a look at it and approve immediate removal. And so that's a primary reason why we send them out there. If we're looking at development and you're looking at tree removal for development, we don't really send our arborist out there because it's really based on site planning. In this case, we want an arborist confirmation of what we're looking at.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Chair.
No.
Commissioner Jack.
Yes. Thank you. I would like to ask staff if we could have a clarification of the word emergency as it applies here, because when I look at the exemptions, it says emergency situations which cause hazardous or dangerous conditions. I think we can probably play with these words for quite some time this evening, so if there's, I looked for a definition, but I didn't find one. So if there's any guidance that you could give us in that particular thing, is there a timeline or, you know, who determines?
Well, there's not a bright line in terms of exactly how you define it, but staff defines an emergency removal as where some sort of property damage or failure of the tree is imminent and that there's something that the tree is going to damage, a house, property, that sort of thing. A hazardous tree could just be a dead and diseased tree that may be in decline, maybe.
Worms took out several trees in that immediate neighborhood, which happens to be, you know, there's a heavy concentration of trees on one of these properties. So, you know, can you in extrapolate or interpret emergency having some that kind of an experience?
Staff wouldn't recommend that at this point. I think what you'd want to do is look at each tree on a case-by-case basis. If you believe there's evidence that that tree could fail and cause some sort of damage, then you could call it an emergency removal. But I think you have to look at each tree differently because each tree will be a different situation.
Okay. Thank you.
Vice Chairperson Betts.
Yes. I'd like to have the commission look at page 8 of the staff report. Second paragraph, last sentence, it says, no permit fees were charged for this application due to the hazardous situation of the trees proposed for removal as evaluated by the applicant's arborist. So we did, the applicant's arborist has stated that these are hazardous trees. I don't think there's any disclaimer to that, is there?
No. When the applicant applied for the tree removal permit, the arborist report did say that they were hazardous trees, so we didn't charge a permit fee.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Yes, it would seem to me that, I mean, the terms that we're talking about, the arborists are obviously schooled in the terminology. They practice within our community. They labeled the trees hazardous because that's what their expertise said. If there was an emergency situation, they would have used those words. I don't think it's something that they just kind of randomly select to use. With respect to staff, you had mentioned that the two parcels combined were roughly 7/10 of an acre, and then you dropped 7 units on both parcels. Is there some type of site plan, or is there a plan for the future to develop the properties?
No, we haven't received any applications for development. That's just the potential density that would be allowed on the site.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I think we're ready to hear from the applicant, Mr. Winslow.
Hello.
If you want to turn your microphone on, there should be a
one that is, my arbor said, is potentially an emergency, needed emergency removal, and is the most hazardous because it threatens one of the residences quite greatly. In that discussion, they mentioned that it would have to go, or after further discussion, it was mentioned that it would have to come before the Planning Commission in order to remove a tree that was on multifamily zone property, even though these are only single-family residences, they just happen to be on multifamily zone property. With that being said, the other trees in my arborist report that were deemed hazardous, I just said, can we go ahead and put those on the Planning Commission's agenda as well, so we can only go through this once in case another one becomes more seriously hazardous in the future. That pretty much leads us to last Thursday when I received the staff report. At that time at the counter, they also said, since they are hazardous, the fees will be waived. There will be no fees in order to remove these trees. The city prepared the staff report, which I received last Thursday. As mentioned, I did not receive any other letter prior to that in regards to the mitigation fees. It is possible. I know when I got the first staff report that it was addressed to our previous address, which was in Agora Hills. I think that may still show on county records. But I did receive no report ahead of time about the mitigation fees. So in reviewing the report on Thursday after receiving it, everything seemed as we had discussed until I got to the mitigation fees. And it states that there will be the permit fees will be waived, but that there will be $5,400 in mitigation fees if the Planning Commission agrees that all five trees can be removed. That kind of some of my initial comments at the counter at the city were that I was not interested in paying any fees to have these trees removed, and was strictly there initially in regards to tree number 7. That pretty much brings us to tonight, and I still have the same opinion that I would like to remove the hazardous trees, and there's been some discussion whether they're hazardous or or in need of an emergency removal. I am not interested in paying any mitigation fees. I assumed when I was informed that there would be no greenhouse, but did not do any damage as far as I know. So those trees also were not deemed in need of emergency removal until they fell and damaged property. So again, that brings me here tonight. The two arborists' reports agree that trees number 3, 5, and 7 are hazardous and need to be removed. There are other trees, native trees, on the property that I did not request to apply for removal. It seems reasonable that since both arborists agreed on trees number 3, 5, and 7, that you guys should approve removal of those. And on my end, again, I do not wish to remove any trees or pay the city for mitigation fees to remove any of these trees. So the only way I would like to remove these trees are if the mitigation fees are waived as well. On tree number 2, if it is non-hazardous, then I will concede and there may be no need to remove that tree. On tree number 8, the city's arborist does state that it is not hazardous to, let's say, the structure or personal property, meaning that it will not potentially fall on the house. What he doesn't mention is that it does have an invasive root system, and it is very close to the house, within 5 or 6 feet. The sidewalk, which is a brick sidewalk, is buckling from the existing roots, and those roots are growing towards the foundation of the house, potentially being hazardous to the footing by cracking the foundation of the house. So I look at that as being hazardous to the structure, whether it's going to fall on it or not. It is a hazard. It is a hazard to my personal property, which is the house. I think in lieu of paying the mitigation fees, replanting 108 trees on 7/10 of an acre is unreasonable. I'm not opposed to replanting maybe a couple trees for mitigation, but 108 trees seems completely unreasonable for 7/10 of an acre. That's about it that I have.
Does anyone on the commission have questions for Mr. Winslow?
The house on 8255. I've known that that tree has been potentially a problem, a hazard, since I've owned the property. So I had an arborist report done, and some time passed. We really hadn't had much rain, many storms, nothing like that had happened. Last October, during those heavy rains, sparked my interest again to reevaluate potentially taking that tree down, especially when I went over there, the two neighboring trees had fallen. And so then again, I actually came into the city at that time, and there was a temporary, I believe Callie was out, and there was a temporary person filling in, and agreed that since these were single-family residences on multifamily zone property, that she would give me approval to remove that tree. I wanted something in writing just in case a neighbor or someone else had stopped by, you know, asking what we were doing. Again, some time passed until these recent storms a couple weeks ago, when, you know, I revisited the fact that I really need to take this tree down. That's when I brought the arborist report in to get a permit or see what the potentially just get that over-the-counter approval to remove tree number 7. And then at that time, it was recommended that this needed to go in front of the Planning Commission because it was multifamily zone property, and that since the tree was deemed hazardous, that the fees would be waived. Again, once that was said, I said, well, we might as well put all the hazardous trees on the Planning Commission, on the staff report for the Planning Commission to review. Since we're doing one, we might as well do all of them.
Now, you mentioned that a couple of trees were knocked over in the as a result of the October storm. Is that correct?
Yes.
And were they on your property?
No. One was on the neighboring property, and I don't know the species of the tree. It lost that tree did not fall, but it lost, you know, a limb or a couple significant limbs, which hit the house, took out the weatherhead and the power and portion of the fascia and the roof of the neighboring property. That would probably be 8275, maybe. The one directly across the street from that, there's a large oak tree that was in the front yard, which did completely come down. And as I said, it totaled a Suburban that was parked in the driveway, and then did the neighboring property immediately across the street from 8265. Some of the branches and stuff did come in contact with that house, but it really didn't do any damage.
Now, are you in the process of doing any development there or anything?
Report, and we're only discussing 5. One, tree number 2, I have already conceded that if the city's arborist says that it's not hazardous, well, we potentially don't need to discuss that tree. But I believe tree number 8 is hazardous to my personal property and the structure. So,
and so it's your plan, your hope, to remove some of these trees, and the removal would be done at your expense. Is that correct?
The tree removal will be done at my expense.
And do you have any estimate of how much it would cost to remove, let's say, three of these trees? Or?
I would have to say somewhere in the... It would depend on the three because of the location to the residences and power lines, but I'm going to have to say $4,000 to $5,000 for three, at least $5,000 for the 5 of them. There's also a large cypress tree, which is non-native, which is actually the largest tree on the property, and it constantly drops dead limbs, which I would probably have removed at the same time. So, again, it depends. If I'm removing 5 trees at 5 separate times, then the cost is going to be probably greater than if I were to remove all of them at one time. But it is going to be a fairly significant cost. So, you know, as mentioned, I am not interested in doubling that cost with the mitigation fees.
Thank you.
Vice Chairperson Benz.
Yes, Mr. Winslow. Earlier in your presentation, you indicated to this commission that you would accept a finding that tree 3, 5, and 7 should be removed as long as you didn't have to pay any mitigation fees. Are you still of that opinion?
I am still of that opinion.
Thank you.
I would like to keep the discussion open for tree number 8 as well, because I believe it is hazardous. That's the only tree that the two arborists did not agree upon. Well, I don't want to say didn't agree upon. The city's arborist disagrees with my arborist, but did state that it is potentially a root, hazardous root system.
Okay, so now you're telling us that you want to add an additional tree to 3, 5, and 7.
No, I'm saying I agree
with you. Tree number 8.
Tree number 8 I would like to keep open for discussion for removal. Yes, tree number 3, 5, and 7, if the mitigation fees are waived and you guys approve for them to be removed, then yes, I agree with that.
Okay, thank you.
Well, maybe
Mr. Winslow, if you are found to have to pay the mitigation fees, do you want to take any of the trees down?
Not at this time.
Okay. Thank you.
With that being said, who takes responsibility if one of these trees is to fall on the roadway or fall on the house, which I would have taken down if the fees were to be waived?
Thank you.
And Mr. Bova?
Yes, I'm Michael Bova. I work for Davie Resource Group and contract with the city for arborist services.
Okay. And does anyone from the commission have a question for Mr. Bova? Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes, on tree number 8, you note that the roots have the potential to be invasive. In your analysis, when you did the work, do you actually maybe dig down in the ground and see how far the roots have extended or towards the foundation of the house? Do we know that there's roots that are heading in that direction and are 4 or 5 inches in diameter and near the foundation?
There was not a root crown excavation, which would that would be called to actually blow the soil out to look at the roots themselves. The tree has significant surface roots that do grow in the direction not only of the home and the sidewalk, but in all directions. So there's significant surface roots that were 2 to 3 inches in diameter on the surface, which indicates that lower down there's larger anchor roots that do grow down into that direction. So it has that species is notorious for surface root problems. And so it's not unusual to note that there's surface roots with that species. However, because of how close it was to the structure, I felt it was important to point that out, that they were close enough to the structure to potentially cause damage.
Are the roots that you're talking about, are they evenly spread around the tree, or is there more roots heading towards the house than other directions?
No, they're evenly dispersed as indicative for that species. It's,
okay,
it's
thank
common
you.
For that.
Commissioner Jack.
Mr. Bova, question. It's along the street.
It's a redwood and a cypress that if those were removed alone, you would start to see some improvement in the canopy of the remaining trees. That's why I felt with tree number 2, if the redwood was removed and the live oak that was next to it was removed, that valley oak would continue to would do much better. The tightness of their canopy has caused the live oaks, which are the much more aggressive growers, to grow out over the street to get more light, and that's why you have that leaning towards the street. They're then having to be pruned back because of the power lines. So the tree is those trees are in a difficult situation. So it would certainly benefit the remaining trees to do some thinning of the stands.
Okay. On tree number 7, I went out and looked at the split in the trunks. And this year in particular, where we had a late leaf drop, I myself lost a large oak on my property, and so I am sensitive to that kind of a situation there where you've got a tree that could literally, the one half could split and drop on the house. So would you agree then that that's an emergency hazardous situation there, given the right set of circumstances?
Given the right set of circumstances, any tree could fail, regardless of its outward appearance. Okay. That tree has a significant cavity at its base where two of those stems come together. Yes. There's decay that has not healed over. But there wasn't any evidence that there was fresh separation.
Okay.
And so for it to be imminent, I would have to see some fresh separation as the wind blew, and it was a rainy day when I was there. I would have to see some separation going on and say, well, this could come down any time. So although that tree is completely undesirable and it's the way it's grown and structurally it's unsafe, I can't say that it's going to come down tonight or tomorrow.
Okay.
So I can't call it an emergency, but it's awful close to, I mean, if it was leafed out today and we get some winds where the wind is pushing on that canopy, it could easily continue to split and split wide open. So it's a dangerous tree if it's left.
Thank you.
Commissioner Ward.
Yes, thank you.
Trees support each other and depend on each other in that context. Could there be a potential for a hazardous or an emergency situation based on the thinning of the trees and or taking out some of the trees and with the ones that would remain?
Yeah. What you have are fringe trees that are on the outer edge of that property that do protect the trees inside. One of those fringe trees would be tree number 5.
Mm-hmm.
If you remove that tree, now tree number 4, which wasn't considered a hazardous tree at the time, becomes the fringe tree. And it had been supported by tree number 5 all this time, so now it's more exposed. And so if the winds are right and the water, the soil saturated, it has potential to react poorly being the new fringe tree. But you can't predict necessarily. I didn't see that tree 4, which wasn't, I noticed it, but it, structurally it didn't appear as if it couldn't stand something like that, like becoming a new fringe tree.
In your analysis, I mean, it's been predicted that this year we're going to have a pretty good winter storms coming up and continue to go on. Do you take under consideration the weather of the particular time in which you do the report? You talked about leafing of the trees. Trees at my house are beginning to leaf. And possibly, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, the leaves could be leafed to a point where they could be affected by the weather. So is that something that you take into consideration, or is it not part of your analysis at all?
I don't try to look at the environmental conditions of the day,
mm-hmm.
when I'm looking at it or forecasting. Well, because it's impossible to say that this tree is going to fail. You can have a perfectly healthy tree, and if the conditions are right, where the soil becomes saturated, the winds are high, you can lose a perfectly good tree. So you can't predict that a tree is going to fail tomorrow. But you can look at the structural conditions and its growing characteristics to determine if it's more likely to fail than one that doesn't have those same characteristics.
Cities and counties use the street highway code to evaluate safety issues. Typically, trees within 10 feet of a travel way aren't acceptable because of the potential hazard that they present for people driving on the road in terms of running into them. Have you ever, in working with the city, removed a tree that was within 10 feet of the travel way because of the streets and highway code requirements of having clear zones?
For this city, I have not, no.
For other cities, you have?
For other cities, the rights of way is considered, what's considered then is ownership of the tree. And so in many cities, if it falls within that right of way, then ownership does belong potentially to.
Are trees 2, 3, and 5 within the right of way, do you know?
I don't know exactly where the easement is for that particular street. They appear to be close to the edge of the street, but the city does not maintain those trees, nor do they. Assume any ownership of those trees.
Okay, thank you.
Regardless of where they're at.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Bova. Mr. Winslow, one other question, if you wouldn't mind returning. Vice Chairperson Benz.
Yes, Mr. Winslow, you mentioned that you wanted tree 3, 5, 7, and now 8 removed as being hazardous trees. And if we were to approve that tonight and waive the fees, the mitigation fees, when would you be ready to remove those trees? And by what time would they, by what time period would they be completely removed?
I would have to gather a couple estimates. Tree number 7, I would probably almost say immediately, but like I said, there probably would be a reasonable cost savings to do them all at one time, or maybe not. Maybe do half of them now and half of them in a month or something like that. I'm not sure. I would be prepared to move fairly quickly to have them all removed, though.
I would like to have a definite date from you. A commitment?
I'd say 4 to 6 weeks.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Winslow. I now like to open it up for the public. Anyone wishing to speak on this matter, please approach the podium. Give us your name and let us know where you're residing. All right, seeing none, I will close comment and bring it back to the commission for discussion. Commissioner?
The individual is not engaged in any development activity or anything. He's not motivated by trying to get some profit here. And yet his action in seeking to have apparently hazardous trees removed at his expense triggers a mitigation fee. Do I understand the law correctly that it subjects him to this kind of double whammy?
Yes. Removing trees is very expensive to do. The tree ordinance, though, is written in such a way that there's very, very limited exceptions for when mitigation is not required. A lot of times replanting on site is a way to reduce the cost. But in the multifamily zone, the tree ordinance has a quadruple multiplier for tree replacement, and that's how you get to the 108 in trees, which, as the applicant stated, is totally irrelevant for this site. It just would not work. In the multifamily zone, the tree ordinance is set up to require a significant amount of mitigation, especially for large deciduous trees, which the applicant happens to have on his site. That's just the way the ordinance has been written, and the Planning Commission doesn't have a lot of leeway with that, with the exception of the emergency removal. So I think that is the area where you do have some leeway. If you do feel that these trees, whichever ones, qualify as an emergency removal, that would be the ability not to charge the mitigation fee.
Let me just follow up with something. If he just ignored this situation, let the hazardous trees stay there and get blown over, removing them then would cost him nothing, right? After they've been blown over by a storm.
Well, actually, no.
Or would he be charged with mitigation fees?
No. Clearly, at that point, when the tree fails, it's now an emergency removal. The city wouldn't be involved at all. It would just be the cost of whatever the arborist would charge to clean up the mess.
Okay. So because he has come forward, identified trees that are hazardous, he's exposed himself to mitigation fees to remove these hazardous trees. It could endanger others, including tenants on his property, maybe neighbors, maybe people on the street. And then he has to pay the cost of removing the trees and the mitigation fees on top of it. Am I missing something here, Warren? Is there some?
I think the way out is to determine that there's an emergency. 48 hours is the rule of thumb, that we're looking for, but as the arborists have stated, there's no way to actually predict. So if the commission finds there's evidence that there's a possibility that these trees could fail and cause some sort of damage, you do have the ability to deem them emergency removals, and therefore they wouldn't require a mitigation fee.
But we have no discretion other than that. If they're hazardous and they have to be removed, we have no discretion. The law requires mitigation fees to be paid.
That's where the ordinance is written.
Okay, we have a few more questions. I'll take these in order. Commissioner Schmidt.
Yes. When did the property change from single-family to multi-family residential? Any idea?
No, I don't have that information.
Because, I mean, obviously, if this was single-family zoning, this wouldn't be an issue, would it?
It wouldn't. It's definitely been zoned this at least since the last general plan update, so that was about 8-9 years ago.
The applicant stating it changed in 2002.
Yeah, there is, and to me, you know, it's kind of like when those trees were there, it was a single-family zone. And at that point, kind of thinking where Commissioner Colomarino is going, I mean, again, if it, we can't change the zone, but, I mean, again, the ordinance applies in this way because of the multifamily situation. If this was single-family, as the buildings are, as they when they were built, that's what the zoning was. When the trees were planted, that's when the zone. That's what the zoning was, and now it's changed. And so he's in this. He's in this in catch 22. Thank you.
Welcome, Commissioner Ward.
Yes, this is just comments. In the time I've been here in the Planning Commission, there's been several tree removal requests come up, and almost all of them, or many of them, were hazardous trees. They were diseased, but yet the applicant paid the mitigation fee. And I don't think we should play favorites. It does set a bad precedent. Perhaps this is not a 100% fair ordinance, but I don't think as commissioners, you know, we should say, okay, you don't have to pay it, but he does, unless it's truly an emergency. And I looked at those trees, and I asked the arborist if he thought any of them were an emergency category, and he said no. I think the applicant said if he has to pay the mitigation fee, he probably won't remove any of them. If it were my property, I'd probably get some of the trees trimmed and cleaned up so they didn't pose a hazard in a big windstorm. But I don't think we should pick and choose and determine something is an emergency if an arborist said it isn't.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes, Warren, just a clarification. When you had just said about we as a commission can deem a tree or trees as an emergency removal, even under the number one on the in the municipal code, it says verification from arborist is required. City arborist will also verify the condition of the tree. So don't we require an arborist saying, yes, this tree is an emergency?
A lot of times we will call in an arborist if there's a question. There are some cases where the tree is failing or has failed where we don't go to that level. But where the tree is looks healthy, and if there's a question, we will try to get our arborist out there as soon as possible just so that we can get the tree out.
Thank you.
Commissioner Colomarino.
Yes, I just want to respond to what the points that Commissioner Ward was making. First of all, I think the overall point that he's making that we need to preserve the integrity of the tree ordinance by applying it quite regularly and predictably is vitally important, and I'm very sensitive to that. At the same time, in the year that I've been sitting on the Planning Commission as Commissioner Ward, I don't recall a situation where somebody was having to have a tree removed. They were engaged in some kind of development activity. Some kind of profit-seeking motive was in operation that caused them to want to remove trees. Some of those trees were deemed to be diseased or unhealthy, but not all of them. But in any event, they were engaged in some kind of profit-making activity, and to pursue this profit-making activity, they wanted to remove trees, and they were expected under the tree ordinance to pay mitigation fees. And I don't think there's any question about the appropriateness of that. This situation, though, is quite unusual in that the applicant is himself not trying to do anything to make a buck. He's trying to remove a hazard that would benefit the public interest. And here he is proposing to do that, to absorb the cost of doing it, and he's told that he has to take on this additional expense. It's very troubling. At the same time, I'm very troubled by the prospect of trying to make some finding that says there's an emergency tree removal here, because I don't see an evidentiary basis for doing that. So I'm wondering whether the city attorney, I mean, I know, having practiced law for many years, I've found ways to get out of these sorts of situations. I've found some legal argument to come up with, some principled basis to act upon. But I'm worried, because I think that the right thing to do is, in this very unusual case, to relieve him of the need to pay mitigation fees. But at the same time, I think we have to try to act in accordance with the law and on a principled basis. And I would hope that we could find a way, or the city attorney could find a way, or if not, the staff could find a way to give us a legal clearance to go forward and relieve him of the mitigation fees and allow him to do what's good for the public.
I think it's a lot to ask of staff to give us some sort of a legal clearance, but I certainly understand where you're coming from.
Well, maybe it wouldn't be tonight, is I guess what I'm suggesting.
That's a possibility. I think what the director has really said to us is our way around this is the emergency label, and as you know, we need to look at it and say, okay, you know, one arborist doesn't consider him an emergency. We don't have the other one here to speak with. Yet he also did make the statement that, you know, I don't think they will, but you never know. I mean, those weren't your exact words. But the bottom line, they could not. You've got the issue with the one number seven in the back, that one in the corner front coming over public property. So, you know, 48 hours from, you know, from today, who knows? And so I think that's the best that the staff can do for us this evening. I guess I'm somewhat concerned that the applicant came to the counter and was told that it was single family residence, that, oh, you know, we can waive the fees, and it maybe it's just with, you know, the transition between Callie and someone else being here, and maybe miscommunication or a not thorough understanding. But it seems that maybe up front the applicant wasn't given all the information or the correct information, and that's a bit disconcerting. Sure. Any other? Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes. With respect to the mitigation fees again, you had mentioned that for whatever reason the ordinance is written to make it extremely harsh on multifamily zonings for removing of trees, is what I think it was, somewhat of the paraphrasing the words that were being used. And I apologize for not knowing this, but is there a different fee structure for the multifamily zone versus a single family zone? There is.
Yeah, under the tree ordinance, there's a multiplier, a doubling of mitigation requirements for tree removals in both the multifamily and the commercial zones and where roads are involved. So single family residential pays one fee, and then multifamily, commercial, industrial, and road projects pay twice that fee.
Okay. You know, it seems kind of, you know, we were recently, a couple months ago, going over the housing element and talking about affordability of homes. And one of the things that we talked about was trying to make it easier for rentals and those type of things come in. And here we have an ordinance that, you know, in certain situations could be very, very prohibitive on someone wanting to develop the property. And it's kind of interesting in that sense. Well, with respect to what we've been talking about, I'll note that there is one tree, number seven, in which the applicant's arborist notes at the very bottom of his report that he uses the word extremely hazardous on it. And that's, again, on tree number seven. And so there is some evidence there for us to use, at least for one tree, to I think, declare it to be an emergency situation. Again, the city's arborist might not agree with that, but again, they're both trained in the same fashion. They both deal with reporting, and so I do think that there's at least in one case where we could say that there is an emergency situation based on factual basis. I'm open to hear anything
Madam
else.
Chair.
Yes, Vice Chairperson Benz.
I would make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt PC Resolution B to approve the request to remove trees 3, 5, 7, and 8 because they have a potential to cause immediate damage to persons or improvements on real property, and that the commission would waive the mitigation fees for those trees if those trees are removed within 6 months from receiving this, or 6 weeks from receiving this, if this motion passes from tonight.
Do I have a...
I'd like to comment, but I guess we need a second to move on.
Yes.
I'll second it for discussion purposes. Okay. The applicant noted that, and it's somewhat of a issue with me. I mean, if I have an emergency situation with trees, I'm going to wait 4 to 6 weeks to cut them down. I mean, if I'm really concerned about it, wouldn't I cut it down as quickly as possible? We had storms recently. Trees were being blown down. People were out there that day cutting down trees or cutting down limbs or dealing with them when they could. So just, you know, in those words that he's used, it doesn't seem to be too much of an emergency for him.
Commissioner Sturtevant.
Yes, I'd have to echo what Commissioner Schmidt is saying because, you know, we have two reports from arborists, and actually I went back and took a look at several of our Planning Commission meetings from last year, and Witt's Turn Tree Care has been the arborist on several of those. So when I see the two different arborists and their two different opinions, here we've used this company for several other projects that there's been no question whatsoever. So and I understand, you know, there were, you know, different circumstances than where we are now. But, you know, I have to agree with Commissioner Schmidt that the whole beginning to this whole process was because of Tree 7. And Tree 7, if it does go down, you have two homes. They're right there within reach of either one. It's going to come down on two residences. So I'd have to say that, in my opinion, to have that Tree 7 is an emergency. That tree should come out immediately, not 6 weeks from now, but immediately. And I would go with the tree with the Witt's Turn Tree Care's recommendation of the other four hazardous trees. I would agree with that, with them being hazardous.
What if I would amend my motion to reflect what you just said, that Tree 7 would be removed immediately within a week, and that the remaining trees would be removed within the 6 weeks. But at the end of 6 weeks, any trees that aren't removed, you could not remove them thereafter. Okay.
I agree with Commissioner Colmarino, Commissioner Ward. We have information in front of us, and we have specific guidelines according to our tree ordinance. And as much as I understand the situation where this gentleman is in, but we have a certain obligation to look at what's in front of us, and mm-hmm. we have hazardous conditions which require mitigation fees. So that's the way I'm looking at it.
Our applicant would like to make a comment. So before we all pitch in again, let me reopen it to public comment and let Mr. Winslow come back.
First of all, my comment to remove them within 4 to 6 weeks, I'm not sure at this time how cost prohibitive this is going to be as well. So agreed, tree number 7, you know, within a week, that sounds reasonable. I may have them, you know, depending on what the cost is, they may all come down within a week. But I didn't want to box myself into a decision at this point not knowing what the exact cost would be to remove them. Once I find that out, I may move quicker than the commission even has requested. In regards to Commissioner Ward's comments, there's some discussion of the exact ordinance between hazardous and emergency. That ordinance also states that you can prune up to 25% of the tree per year. So effectively, if I'm in no hurry to get these trees down, but I want to save myself $5,400 in mitigation fees, I can remove 25% of each tree over the next 4 years and there's no problem. So again, it seems like we're kind of talking about semantics and, you know, a couple, an ordinance that may need to be modified in the future.
Yes, definitely there.
Any more questions, Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes, and I have a question for staff on this.
Well, wait, let's finish with Mr. Winslow first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you have no? Any? Okay, thank you, Mr. Winslow. And because I've opened it, is there anyone else from the public that would like to speak on this matter? All right, seeing none, closing public comment. Commissioner Colomarino.
Yes, I'd just like to ask staff whether, well, how do you proceed when you deal with a case of emergency tree removals? Do you sometimes allow as much as a week and a half to get the trees down, or do you actually try to get them down in 48 hours?
If it's clearly an emergency removal, we'll basically approve it right there over the counter. We usually go out in the field, look at it, and then give them some sort of authorization to proceed with an emergency removal. And that would be a case where there's clearly the tree is in this process of failing or is partially failed, or there's something like that that's been the case, and we'll move that quickly. When it's more of a declining tree where there's a question or not, that's where I will follow more of this process, because it appears that we do have some time to make a decision.
The reason I ask that is what I think I just heard the applicant say is that he might be willing to treat the removal of these trees as though they're emergency removals. Basically, he wants to get seven down very quickly, and he says if he's going to get seven down, maybe he'll take the other ones down at the same time. He's acting on an emergency basis pretty much, and I'm wondering whether that gives us some base evidentiary basis for saying, well, this is an emergency tree removal at that point.
Well, the attorney's coming out. Commissioner Ward.
In my judgment, that would be gaming the system, and I couldn't approve that.
Commissioner Schmidt.
We've had a first and a second on a motion. The first had amended his motion. The second didn't support it. To let you know.
Did or did not?
Will not. And so we're still stuck.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Commissioner Jack.
Okay. After listening to all of the discussions, personally, two things. I think tree number seven, I think we can make the finding to remove that tree. That seems to be the number one issue at this time, and I think that's within the purview of the commission. As far as the other trees, we're kind of locked in with our existing ordinance, and I think several of us here would agree that there needs to be some cleanup done in that particular ordinance. So I would like to see, I could support removing the one tree, waiving the mitigation fees, classifying it as an emergency. That would be on tree number seven.
Okay. Let me ask Director a brief question. If tree number five were to fail and fall into the street, whether it hits a passing by car or pedestrian or something, whose responsibility is that? Who does the liability fall to?
Well, it's the property owner's tree.
Correct, but if it's the airspace of the city, the street belonging to the city, once it passes that airspace to the street, what is the...
Well, I guess it depends on the exact situation. If there's anything that happens in the right-of-way, the city usually is involved in any claim. And if the road is blocked or impassable and there's no damage, the city crews always respond and clear the tree out of the right-of-way. So, you know, there's usually some sort of cooperative effort. But trees that are just overhanging the right-of-way, it is city policy not to maintain those trees or take any action unless, for whatever reason, we believe it's eminently a hazard to the street. And then in that case, Public Works may intervene.
Okay, but my question being, not that the city would do something about the tree, but if it did fail and it goes into the right-of-way and hurts somebody or something, the city would be partly liable for that then, correct?
Well, that's a legal question. I mean, the city is not going to volunteer liability.
No one ever does. Okay. So if maybe we could take, it seems like we have a little bit of a straw vote going here of agreeing on 7 in terms of the waiving the mitigation fees, 3, 5, and 8 to take down if he so chooses, but no waiving. I would be amenable to that. Could we take a straw here?
I'd like to propose something like that, but okay. A little differently, and that is that the applicant removes 7, and at the same time, within, let's say, a week, at the same time as removing 7, removes 3, 5, and 8, I guess it was, then on that basis, they would be regarded as emergency, and he would not be held liable to pay mitigation fees. That's what I would propose at this point. And I would want to put that into a motion.
Okay. Commissioner Ward, if you could
give
us...
Well, my comment was that that's gaming the system, and I couldn't support that.
Okay. You're okay. That's fine.
May I respond to that comment?
Let's have one last response, and then we'll get going.
I respect very much your comment, and that is a very important concern. We don't want to play fast and loose with the system. At the same time, you know, there's an old saying, hard cases make bad law. This is a hard case, and I think bad law is going to come out of it unavoidably. I'd hate to see an injustice come out of it, too. But if he proceeds on an emergency basis to remove these trees, it seems to me we have some evidence, or arguably it's not real heavy evidence, but it's some evidence to support a finding that this is an emergency removal. And on that basis, it says emergency tree removal. He's acting on an emergency basis. I think we can to go from there and say that this emergency tree removal, therefore, is not subject to mitigation fees in this very unusual case.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Yes. I would move that the applicant be relieved of paying mitigation fees on the basis that the removal of tree number 7 within a week and trees, other
trees
that have
been identified. I would need it stated in terms of the resolution.
So 3, 5, and 8, I believe it is.
But if you could make the motion in terms of the resolution, if you could, and then make amendments to it as necessary on page 7.
Okay, so... that we adopt PC Resolution B to approve the request to remove 3 native oak trees. And these are number 3, number 5, number 7, within subject to the condition that they be removed within a week of this hearing, or 10 days?
Yeah.
10 days of this hearing. And without the requirement of the applicant paying mitigation fees because they are emergency tree removals.
You need to add tree number 7 to that tree
eight.
5 and
tree 8.
You want to add number 8 to that too?
Yeah, that's what I meant, number 8. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
So amended.
Do I have a second on that? We have no second. Motion dies. Do we have another motion? Commissioner Jack.
Let me go to the resolution here. I move that. Hang on here, bear with me. That the Planning Commission adopt PC Resolution B to approve the request to remove tree number 7, classifying it as an emergency removal and waiving all fees, both tree mitigation as well as any other fees that the city might be applicable.
Are you adding in the removal of 3, 5, and 8?
No.
With mitigation?
No, because I'm in agreement with Commissioner Ward. We have a bad ordinance.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if he pays the mitigation, are you willing to put that into your motion? Because that's what this initial motion is to remove those trees with the mitigation fee.
Well, he has stated that he was not interested in paying any mitigation fees.
But so. I think it gives him the option that is what's before us. So if we were to do
okay.
that, add in 8.
Okay.
And
then we'll add trees 3, 5, and 8 that will have the applicable tree mitigation fees applied.
Okay. Do you have that, Shannon?
So 7 is emergency.
So we're saying 7 is an emergency. 3, 5, and 8 hazardous. We'd keep the mitigation fees.
I'll second that.
Okay.
So we have a first by Commissioner Jack, a second by Commissioner Sturdivant. Any other discussion?
Yes.
Start with Commissioner Schmidt.
I'd like to introduce Tree 8 to us, please. On page 23 of the report, I was looking at the checklist in which the arborist has filled out, and although they're not duplicates of each other, they are very close. To me, Tree 8 is would be the most concern for me. If there is a tree is nearing the foundation of that house, it's obviously close to that house, I would look at that as being an emergency situation, and the factual basis that I would use would be the reports and how they compare to each other in terms of what's checked and what's not checked, even to the point, and I don't know, I wish the gentleman was here who paid, prepared the report on tree number 8, next to structural weakness, he has EX right next to it. I don't know if he was getting ready to write extremely unsafe or not. The tree for me is close to the house and could cause some damage. Commissioner Cullen Marino was talking about profit or nonprofit. The gentleman does have rentals that he is earning income on and paying the property taxes and such on that property. So he doesn't have at this point plans on changing that, but there is a profit motive there for him. That you were referring to.
Okay. And Commissioner Colomarino?
Yeah, first, let me just say that I understand the point about him using the premises to rent out, but he's not making any additional money by removing trees here, which is the typical situation. There's some development activity that requires removal of trees. But getting beyond that, I just want to make sure I understand the practical effect of adopting this resolution. So I may...
If I could just interject, do we have a second on this yet?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant.
Okay, who is this second?
Sturdivant.
Okay, thank you.
If this resolution is adopted, then the applicant he's free to remove or not remove any of these trees. Is that correct? Is that correct that he it still remains his decision whether to remove any?
Yeah, these aren't requirements ever to remove trees. So under the motion, he could remove 7 with no fees or mitigation required, and then he could also remove 3, 5, and 8, but he would have to pay the mitigation fees on those.
So, and if he does not remove those last three, or in fact any of them, then nothing happens. Do you ever pursue this further? You know that there are hazardous trees out there. Is there any follow-up by the staff?
On private property, we won't pursue them. It's not something we'll deal with.
They're on private property, and we'll fee them, but we won't. Any other? All right. Commissioner Jack.
One comment relative to Commissioner Schmidt's concerns about Tree 8. Are there similar concerns? Because I would be willing to amend my motion to include it.
I would have a hard time calling it an emergency.
Okay.
Personally.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. All right. We have a first.
Question.
Oh, Commissioner Schmidt. Okay. We have a first by Commissioner Jack, a second by Commissioner Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Commissioner Colomarino?
Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt?
No.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Benz?
Yes.
Chairperson Moreno?
Yes.
6-1 motion passes.
Thank you, Shannon. And I think it's safe to say that most of us feel that this ordinance does need to be looked at, and how we talk about that in the near future. I guess we'll maybe off-site, not as a quorum, but have a conversation. Thank you. Make that clear. All right. Any commissioner comments and reports? Commissioner Schmidt?
Yeah, it's gardening time is coming up pretty soon, and I was at Moore's Nursery. I don't know if you know where that is, because the commissioners, it's out on Highway 41 to the west, just beyond Curb Rail. And there's some changes that are going on there, and kind of nice to see. I just want to inform the commissioners that there are a gentleman there is going to be having some programs that he's going to be presenting. The first one's going to deal with the care and maintenance of azaleas and camellias. He has some other programs that deal with landscaping for horse properties and so on. And they're going to be going on probably once a month or every, around there for part of the year. And so inviting you to spend some time and might find a program that you might like, and maybe learn some stuff and from the people there at Moore's. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Commissioner Jack?
Okay. I'd like to, at some future point in time, if there's a consensus on this commission, I would like to revisit the tree ordinance. I don't know whether that falls within our purview with request City Council to allow us to review that, or I don't know what
you've got some different options. Clearly, it's your agenda. You can agendize whatever you want for discussion. Taking any action on an ordinance, would recommend you'd seek council approval for that. But if you wanted to agendize it as a discussion item, that then maybe you would use as a basis to make some sort of request to the council, that would be it within your discretion.
I would like to see that if I could get consensus from the commission.
I'd be open to that.
Most definitely. With
like
special emphasis on the multifamily housing and multifamily districts.
Yes. Commissioner Colomarino.
If I'm not mistaken, I thought this matter was presented last week at the strategic planning session of the City Council, and it was decided to, I think, table it for the time being. I'm not sure about that, but in any event, we've now touched on a very sensitive point here, and maybe that would be a basis for, you know, asking for some reconsideration of that matter. Another subject I'd just like to bring up.
Excuse me. With that thought in mind, could we, at some future point in time, agendize this?
Yeah, that's what I've written down, that you'd like to revisit it. I'm not
Thank
sure
you,
about
Commissioner
the timing on
Colomarino.
The additional point I wanted to raise made it very appropriate for me to defer at that moment to Commissioner Jack. I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank him for his service as a chair the last year and congratulate him on doing a fine job and showing us direction and leadership in a mature and businesslike way and professional way. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other commissioner business? All right. Do we have a director's report this evening?
Yeah, a couple things real quick. Your next meeting will be February 16th. We're agendizing the review of the city's medical marijuana ordinance. So the city attorney will be presenting that for your review. That is expected to be a pretty lengthy hearing. You'll be making a recommendation to the city council on amendments to the municipal code and to the zoning ordinance. I believe most of the commissioners did receive an email from a property owner or potential owner at 7865 El Camino Real last week. I appreciate everybody not trying to respond with emails because that could be a problem. But staff has contacted that person. Callie's been working with them on the process. That's actually something that probably won't have to come back to the Planning Commission. It'll just be either allowed use or not allowed use in that zone. But we're working with them to try to see if we can fit them in there. So we appreciate, you know, the forwards we got so that we could contact them on that. And let's see. Final thing, I think somebody brought up in the audience the idea that you could trim trees 25% a year. You can trim trees up to 25% a year. But the caveat is all the pruning has to be done in accordance with the accepted arboricultural practices. So you can't prune a tree to death, but you can prune a tree up to 25%. But it's got to be some sort of professional practice standards that would apply.
Could cause death.
And that will conclude my report.
All right.
Chairperson?
Yes.
I'd like to ask a question of the director, please.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Director Frase, I'm interested in AB 811. Are you able to give us an update about how that is progressing and when it might come into effect?
Yes, staff right now, mainly Callie, is working with Powerhouse on getting a contract put together. We're in the final review of that. We expect that'll be wrapped up here in the next week or so. That'll then open up the process for Powerhouse to start what was described as the pilot program, about $750,000 in funds, probably to do about 20 to 30 projects in the city. We expect that'll roll out over the spring and summer. There's also a second process that we're participating with. It's called California First. It's part of a statewide bonding initiative. The County of San Luis Obispo is participating, and we're going to basically tag along with the county on that. That's a lot bigger program. We're not exactly sure how fast that one's going to roll out just because it involves, you know, 13 or 14 counties and many, many jurisdictions. But that potentially has even more money available, and we think having both options available to the city is a good idea.
On our AB 811 program in the city, is there a waiting list? I mean, if people wanted to sign up before the program was instigated, is there something that they could put their names down saying, I'm interested, and get in line?
Not yet, and that's by design. We want to go through the process of doing the education. Depending on the type of interest we have, we'll figure out some sort of equitable way, but it won't necessarily be the first person in the door, because that might not be the fairest way to let, since not everybody will know about it at the same time. So we're going to try to figure out a process, depending on the interest, where it's as equitable as possible for everybody to have an equal shot at participating.
Thank you.
Commissioner Jack.
With that, would you give us a follow-up on the normal follow-ups on Tractor Supply and theaters? And
yeah. Yeah, economic development projects.
Yes.
In terms of the Tractor Supply project, it's our understanding that the developer is having a little bit of problem getting the financing pulled together for the project. Our Office of Economic Development has been in contact with them, and we are trying to provide him some assistance so that he can get the required financing. But that project is moving slowly because of just the financing issues. The Colony Square Theater is under construction. They've poured most of the perimeter foundation. It's a very complicated foundation. They're making some changes based on Galaxy Theater's interior requirements. Those are in review right now, but we expect that the foundation, based on the weather, will be finished up here this month, and then they'll start to actually put the vertical structure up. So that's moving along well. Rite Aid project is moving along very well. They're putting the roof on right now, or the structure for it. So that project is moving along quite well. The La Plaza project on the Hoff property, the other theater project, is still out for corrections, but we have heard from the applicant that they're getting close to a resubmittal, so we're waiting for that to come in. And then on the Walmart project, we are waiting for Walmart to submit a slight revision to their plan. They're changing the idea of the floor plan a little bit. There were some corporate things they wanted to accomplish that they didn't have on their plan, so they're making those changes. Once that comes in, we'll be able to get the EIR process and the public outreach process underway.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any? Has there been any interest in the Rite Aid building that will soon be vacant? Have we started trying to attract tenants to that?
We haven't been involved in that process, but I would assume that the developer is working on that already.
Okay. Commissioner Ward.
Yes. Laura, my wife and I had lunch at the Cowgirl Cafe today, and I noticed a notice that as of 1 April, it's going to cease to exist as it has, as it now is, but there's some discussion evidently that it's going to reemerge during some phase in the Colony Square project. Can you comment on that?
We're working right now with them on a relocation plan. It's our understanding there's another site in town that is very appealing to them that they're working on moving to. So I would expect them to actually end up in a different site. But I don't want to commit to anything because it would be up to them one way or the other. But there is another vacant restaurant in town that they're looking at.
All right. I guess I have one last
one. Thank you. Commissioner Jackson.
Seeing as we're touching all of the bases, what's the status on the Denny's property?
There's a potential buyer for that wants to put a new restaurant in. We have met with them once. Okay. Looks like it would be a real good fit. Work really well next to the theater. They have to acquire the property, and I think they're in some sort of negotiations on that. So hopefully we'll have some more firm news to report in the future. But right now I think that one's still kind of being worked out.
Anything new on the Carlton?
Not that I know of, other than what's okay. in the media.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. Meeting adjourned.